Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. What does it take to be a good parent? How do you get it right? Let's look at Jesus' early life for some insight. Did parenting Jesus require something special? The lesson is from Luke 2, verses 25 through 40. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did depart from the temple not, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This lesson deals with this central question. What was really special about Jesus and Mary and Joseph? What we discover, the big idea, is that God sent Jesus into the world to save a world that didn't want to be saved, to be nurtured by human parents. Let's begin by considering how God revealed the special purpose and nature of this babe of Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph were surprised. They had no idea of the complexities that their son would bring to the world. Simeon prophesied salvation. Anna prophesied redemption. Simeon prophesied political implications. Simeon prophesied heartache for the family. Those shepherds had come, remember? No advice from God there. Now there they were confronted by people with prophecy in the temple. Mary had just been dealt with by the angel at her pregnancy's beginning, the Annunciation. Joseph was the one who had dreams. He was told to accept Mary as wife, even though she was pregnant. He did. He would shortly be told to flee to Egypt because King Herod would seek to kill babies just born. They would. They did not understand God's purposes until they began to follow him. They understood the baby was special. They were surprised to understand this baby was God's answer to sin. Do you see how Luke 2:33 gives us this kind of insight? And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. We might ask, how typical were Mary and Joseph and this baby? Well, Mary and Joseph were typical Jewish parents. They did what they were supposed to do. They fulfilled the law. They were in the temple because it was the eighth day. They had to buy back their baby. The first child here belonged to God. They had to buy Jesus back at the temple. Remember the turtle doves or pigeons that would have to be sacrificed? The kind of sacrifice tells us they were poor. Goats and calves were required of the rich. Jesus was a Jewish boy. He had to be circumcised on the eighth day. They were in the temple to do what the law said had to be done. They safeguarded the child. They would be sticking around Bethlehem for a bit. Joseph must have found a job. They had a house. They lived there for maybe 2 years. You know about the Magi, the wise men. They rolled into Jerusalem probably a number of months after that first Christmas. All of Jerusalem got excited because of them. They were looking for the Messiah. Herod told them to tell him where the baby was when they found him. Herod wanted to kill that baby. Competition. They didn't, and Herod had all the babies that could be found, 2 years old and younger, killed. God gave Joseph a dream. Talk about timing here. After the wise men had brought those gifts, before Herod started killing babies, in time for them to get out of Bethlehem and off to Egypt, until Herod would die, then they'd get back home. Well, Mary and Joseph learned about being parents after the pregnancy and delivery of Jesus. They learned who the child would be. They learned that they were caretakers of the Savior of the world. They knew they would have to get it right. Mary and Joseph understood about being parents and what society and God expected of them. They lived lives as they understood they were to do. Joseph listened to God as he was able. God found a way to talk to that man just like he has a way to speak to the heart of every person. Mary and Joseph were typical of the Jewish parents of the day, and they followed the will of God as they knew it. We should ask, how did this work out practically? Well, Mary and Joseph cultivated their son. They got back home. Herod did die, and Mary and Joseph and the toddler Jesus returned home to Nazareth. Joseph made a living in Nazareth. He raised a family of 6 boys and a bunch of girls. Jesus was probably a carpenter, learned it from his dad. That's the way families worked in those days. Jesus was human. He was born like human babies are born. He was probably a toddler when the Holy Family fled Bethlehem. He was probably under 5 when the family returned from Egypt. Herod just lived a few years after Jesus was born, you know. The Bible reveals that the divine Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, pre-existed this earthly Jesus. He set aside his deity. He played by earth's rules, not heavenly rules. He was fully human and grew like humans grow. He lived in a perfect human life, however, because there was no sin to which he succumbed. Every biblical record we have reveals Jesus rejected sin and flung back temptation to its source, Satan himself. God gave direction to Mary and Joseph in a way they could understand. The implication is that God deals with us in a way we can understand. He may use people who have his word and share it. That's the gift of prophecy. He may use his recorded word, the Bible, to provide direction. What we know is that God sent his only son, nurtured in a human family and ultimately suffering on a cross, to redeem a world that did not want redemption. God, in a miraculous way, intervened in human life to save us from our sin, those things in life that separate us from God and from one another. That was Jesus' job. We can be very thankful that Mary and Joseph got parenting right. Their son grew up and accomplished his job as Savior. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and 2 blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish His will. We have 2 mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Charala. We used to call the Dalit people the Untouchables. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul's Lutheran Public School in Charala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209. These past days and weeks, Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill has been privileged to share God's holy word with you in the morning. As part of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in the United States, we support daily Bible reading and prayer. If you do not have a Bible and would like a complimentary paperback copy of the New King James Version Bible, call us at 945-5209 and give us your name and address or phone number.